Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right. It is a fantastic day. What's up, everybody? This is Coach Chris from Play in Faith. I am incredibly excited tonight. We are here with an amazing guest. We've got Kyle Mangus, a National Collegiate Basketball Player of the Year, entering his fifth year of professional basketball, and did it all from a small town in Indiana. Amazing story to share. We're really excited. How's it going, Kyle?
Oh, it's going great. Happy to be on today, Chris, and just, you know, talk hoops, talk faith. Just excited to be a part of this.
That's like my two favorite topics, man. Life is good, right? So before we dive into it, so tell everybody where you are sitting at right now, because we're doing this one remotely here. So where are you at right now?
Yeah, I'm in San Antonio, Texas. I just got down here a couple days ago, working out with the Spurs organization. It's who I'll be with this next season for hoops. Finished with them last season, and really pumped to be here, get to play open gym and do workouts with the NBA guys and be a part of all that. So grateful for it and excited for it, trying to make the most out of it, you know, seeing where it can go. It's crazy. You said fifth year professional. Makes me feel like I'm getting old, which is sounds kind of crazy, but it's a lot to be thankful for.
No, absolutely. And it's got to be, obviously you've been living this life for a while, but when we start backing up and take everyone kind of through some of your origin story, it's got to be interesting that we're just casually kicking it before we hit record and you were running live with Victor Wembanyama like a few hours ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was, you just get thrown into the fires as I was explaining to you, Chris, and before, you're just playing with these NBA all-stars and you're out on the court, but you know, you have to show that you can belong. You don't want to be a fan, quote unquote, but you want to be a competitor, be a teammate to them. So, that's what I'm striving for.
So that's got to be interesting too, that fine line, right? Like I remember as a small kid, the 92 Olympics, like the dream team, right? It's Jordan and Bird. And you see before the game, opposing players, they're getting ready to compete against, bringing like sneakers up for them to sign and like running like my daughter would at a game, right? So, obviously you're new to the Spurs, right? This is your first year with them, or new-ish, right? So, when you see some of these folks that, you know, your buddies are pretending to be on 2K. Is it kind of interesting, you know, realizing that, you know, this De'Aaron Fox is your peer, right? Not someone you control on a video game.
Yeah, exactly. It really puts everything into perspective, like growing up in a small town in Indiana. These are things that you dream about. And then, you know, you walk into the Spurs facility and I see Manu Ginobili, who is one of my favorite players. I see Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich, and then you're on the court. You're right with Victor Wembanyama. So, for a few moments, you kind of take that in, and you have to get back to, you know, the mindset of, you know, just being competitive, because, you know, at this level, it's so cutthroat. It's so competitive. There's so many guys going for just a limited number of spots. And I'm a fringe guy, so I have to battle every chance I get. Like one open gym, one workout, like, I have to give everything I have to give everything I have there, because you never know who's watching, you know, front office, coach. A guy in my spot, like, yeah, you can take that in. It's cool. Like I talked about it with you before, I'll look back one day and just see how special that really is. But in the moment, you're like, I got to go fight now.
Right now it's go time, right? It's exactly. Every moment's an audition.
Yes.
So to get to this audition, right, everything always seems obvious in retrospect, but as we begin the journey, I find it fascinating that, not improbable in a negative way, but from a small town in Indiana, so you played at Warsaw High School, excellent, excellent program, but we're not located in, you know, Chicago or LA or some of these massive cities. So it's a little more rural. So take me through, like, obviously in high school, junior, senior year, when did it start to click that, maybe even earlier, where, hey, you know what, I think I want to and have the ability to play beyond just high school? When did it start to formulate that, like, I think there's a little bit more of a path here?
I mean, I grew up playing every sport. You can think of basketball, football, baseball, soccer, and then as I got older, kind of narrowed them down more. And it was just football and basketball in high school. Then, after my sophomore year, I was just like, man, I just want to play basketball all the time. And I was like, I really feel like I can, go to college. I grew up a huge, IU fan, Indiana Hoosier fan. And I mean, for the people that don't live in Indiana, when you grow up in Indiana, like basketball, it really does mean more, especially at the high school level, at the college level. And I mean, now even with the Pacers,
Sure.
people are just basketball crazy. So I think that kind of hit me early on, halfway through college, started getting recruited by some NAI schools. Indiana Wesleyan was the very first school to recruit me, and built that relationship with them early. And I was like, man, I could see myself, fitting in here, not just basketball wise, but going to school here, like I match up with these guys well on the team and the beliefs of the program. So probably around that sophomore junior year time, and then I was like, okay, well, how am I going to get there? What are the things I'm going to do? What are the goals I'm going to set? Just the process for all that. It was around that time.
So you mentioned Indiana Wesleyan's the first school that recruited you. Obviously, a fantastic basketball program. You guys had a ton of success. It's an NAIA school. It's a smaller school. And one of the things that we talk a lot about when I get to interview a lot of coaches and athletic directors and even pro athletes like yourselves, all different walks, and we find that as you start backing up more and more to the younger level, increasingly it is D1, 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 D1. Get that Scholly, get that Scholly. I mean, even like fourth or fifth grade, I'm seeing parents screaming at their kids, kids staring at the parents in the stands, putting them through pro level workouts before puberty's even on the horizon, right? Like children. And so obviously you've ended up at the apex of a career. Your sophomore, your junior year, you're talking to Indiana Wesleyan. It's an NAIA school, and as wonderful it is as it is, that is not a direct pipeline to the San Antonio Spurs, right? I mean, it was 2 years ago. You're at Indy. You're playing with Oscar Tshiebwe, like who's wins
They're
the Naismith
crazy.
Award at Kentucky, right? And here you are side by side. So, what other were there other offers out there? Was that like how did you make the decision to play at that level, or was that decision made for you?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say I wasn't highly recruited at all. And what you're kind of talking about, the D1 stigma, like, I mean, that was
Sure.
even there when I was growing up. And I think every kid goes through that. The schools you watch on TV, the Dukes, the IU, like that is a dream of some sorts to play for schools like that. But I think as you start to get a little bit older and realize what's really important,
Yeah.
like that's what kind of stands out to me. And as I was, started that recruiting process, like I said, like I was a huge IU fan. It would have been great to be recruited by IU, but then as I talked to Indiana Wesleyan, I'm like, man, like I didn't really know anything about the school, but like this is a really special place. Like, I mean, on the basketball court, they had just won two national championships. The facilities are great, and then what the school stands for. Faith is important to me, and just the guys on the team are like-minded. They care about you, like they push you. They don't just see you as, a number, someone who we can get in and can do this for us, do that. But no, they care about you. They want you to grow as a person, and everything just kind of aligned that way. So I committed pretty early, I think after my junior year, because I was just set. I was like, this is the place that fits me. They wanted me, I wanted them, and it just fit.
Awesome.
I think it gave me a little bit of a chip on my shoulder that I was under recruited, and I think that's
Yeah.
okay for athletes to have, but it's, I mean, if a Division One school is the right fit for you, by all means, like go for it. But if a Indiana Wesleyan, if a Division Three, if a JUCO school, if that's the best fit for you, that's okay too. Like there's so many routes and avenues now in basketball and other sports to get to where you want to go. Like it's okay. I would find a school that really believes in you and where you feel like you can go and just be a part of the program and the school, on and off the court.
I love it. I think that's just so important for families to hear, parents to hear, young athletes to hear, that it's about finding the right fit, a place where you want to be both on and off the court. And I think, you know, when people are as athletically successful as you, it's really easy for us to become defined by our sport. I am our sport. And it's nice to remember that our sport is something we do. It is not the entirety of who we are. And I imagine at a school like Indiana Wesleyan, some days we're playing for an audience of one, and it may not be the audience that we thought we were playing for when we were younger. So you get there, and obviously National Player of the Year. I want to say, I mean, I don't want to get your bio wrong. I want to say three times National Player of the Year, twice, like eight times, like every year, basically, right?
Two-time national player of the year.
Right, so that's young. So you basically show up at this school, and then as an underclassman, immediately making this massive, massive impact. So, you know, typically the progression from high school to college to the pros leads through some of those schools we talked about earlier, or in some cases, 1 year at those school, and then on we go. So, at what point? Actually, let me back up. So, I'm going to say you're National Player of the Year. I'm going to imagine there were transfer opportunities. I'm going to imagine that some of these big schools that maybe you followed growing up, that the doors open and that inquiries are coming in. Correct, maybe.
Maybe I didn't really entertain it at all. I would hear whispers. People would say stuff to me. Oh, like you could go here. That like I know someone who knows this coach, and they would take you right now. But like, it really wasn't a thought in my mind, just because of the relationships and the experience I was having at Indiana Wesleyan. I was able to block that out pretty easily, actually, and I was set on going there for 4 years.
That's awesome. I think nowadays too, with the pressure from, you know, NIL and transfer portal and all
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
it is you have one good year and then boom, we're off to the next, we're off to the next, and it becomes a business almost a little too young.
Yeah. And I don't know what it was like, you know, I didn't have right when I left college, NIL started. So
Just missed.
I mean I can't imagine navigating that, you know, as a player. And I mean I've talked to some players even, and yeah, just it's tough. It's tough to value that. So it's getting even harder nowadays. But I think there is something to be said about, you know, a player who you know sticks with the team and the coaches who recruited him and you know wants to leave a legacy at that program. You
Sure.
know, I would they always talk about, you know, when you come to that place and then when you leave it, like you want to leave it better than you found it. And just a countercultural place. Like when I got there, you know, I feel like when you're a high school recruit, you come in, you know, you think it's all about you. Like I'm coming into this place, they wanted me, but Indiana Wesleyan is different. You know, it's their slogan is I am third, so it's God first, others second, and then put yourself last. So it's, you know, how can I serve God and others first and then think about myself? It's super countercultural to, you know, everything you see in college sports and pro now, where guys, you know, people are just, you know, wanting money or wanting status or just, you know, the spot without earning it, where this place was super different. And I bought into that and loved it. My best friends went there, and my wife went there. So, and it was right in my backyard the whole time. So a great place. Yeah.
Yeah, so make a good point. So it's right in your backyard. It's this wonderful, idyllic college career. So at what point in your college career does your coach say to you, or maybe you say to yourself, hey, I don't think this is it. I think that this is a career. Because I imagine there's a little bit of marketing you have to do when you're playing at an NAI or a D2 level, plenty of opportunities. But you have to be a little more proactive in seeking. Well, when did you realize that, hey, I think I can do this for a living?
Yeah, I mean, I was loving basketball so much, and I was like, I can't think of, you know, stopping after my senior year. So it was probably my junior year I started thinking about that. And I didn't really know any pro basketball players at the time. I didn't know what anything about the industry, the pro basketball world, but I was like, man, I think I would just like to keep playing, see where it could take me, whether it's, you know, overseas here in the States, like whatever I could get. And then throughout my senior year, some agents approached me and set up some meetings with them after the season, and ended up with a guy right in Fort Wayne, who's it's awesome. I can see him in person. A lot of players never see their agents in person. It's usually over the phone, and Have been with them ever since and has helped me. And so that's, yeah, probably my junior year in college, not to get too far down the road with that, but yeah, junior year in college.
Nice. So you graduate and your agent calls you up and says, Kyle, I've got great news for you. You're going to play professional basketball. Like, that is amazing. I can't wait. Where am I going? And he says, the Czech Republic, right? So you have lived within an hour of your idyllic, wonderful Indiana small town. You went to a small Christian university, and I was in Kokomo, right?
Marion.
Marion, Marion, Marion. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, but basically, right down the road, and then your next stop is—do I have the timeline right? The next stop is the Czech Republic.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. And I had three NBA workouts that summer. And this is just to kind of show you what the pro basketball world is like with the Pacers, Pistons, and Cavs, and like awesome experiences. Like played really well in the workouts, and you're hearing things from them. I was like, okay, maybe I can, get this contract in the G League, assert like something I didn't even think was possible. And then boom,
Yeah.
like out of nowhere, you stop hearing things and you're like, okay, well, now what's the next option? That's kind of what pro basketball is like sometimes. It's you kind of expect things and then boom, they disappear. You don't expect things and they come out of nowhere. So yeah, I ended up going to Prague, Czech Republic, which ended up being good for me. It was my first time, like you said, out on my own.
Yeah, it's not like you just went to like Denver for the weekend.
Yeah,
I mean, like
exactly.
that's a heck of a move.
7 hour time difference, thousands of miles away. My first time not living in Indiana, not living within an hour of my hometown, my parents. So, it got me out of my comfort zone right away, which is something I think I needed as a person. Played over there and had a, I mean, it's a middle level league over there. It was a great starting spot for me, and it was awesome. Yeah, and then that led the next year to playing in Lithuania. Kind of moved up a step. That's what you do over there.
Sure.
Tough living situation over there. It's Eastern Europe, cold and
Yes.
gray, and
So I find that one fascinating. So I actually knew your mother fairly well at that time. So my little daughter, as much as she loves your basketball career, you are a distant second to your mother. She
That's
is
okay.
a
Totally understand.
massive, massive fan. Yes, I have two questions from her at the end of our interview. We'll see if you get them right. One of them is very funny. So I remember talking to your mom, and she's kind of like, there was like some flirtation with like mentioned some like maybe like an Italian league. And I'm a basketball nerd, and I'm like, ooh, like that's a really good league. And then like I'm like Spain, whoa, that's big time. That's basically one step from the NBA. This is incredible. And then end up in Lithuania. So you are like a tank and a half of gas away from a war-torn region. I'm gonna guess you don't speak Lithuanian or Latvian.
Oh no.
And at that point, engaged or still girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
So
So I'm assuming
long distance,
she's
an
not
hour
there.
difference.
So not to be dour here, but let's say it's a one night after a tough ball game. Maybe it doesn't go so well. You're sitting in your apartment in Lithuania, in Eastern Europe. The weather's miserable, war torn. You don't speak the language. Girl you're eventually going to marry is halfway across the world. Parents, there has to be a moment where it at least flips through your mind of, am I going to keep doing this? Is this what I'm supposed to do? God, am I in the right spot? So I imagine, did you have some of those moments?
I've had so many of those moments. That happens as a professional athlete. Like it just does. Things don't always go right. You're not playing as well as you wanted. The situation that you're in, like the living situation, might not be great. You don't have, the friendships, the relationships that, I did at Indiana Wesleyan as I do in Lithuania.
Sure.
It's so different. And yeah, it makes you question, like, man, I'm over here in a foreign country, like so far from my family, so far from everything, when I could be back home, trying to
Yeah.
plant roots and, build a quote unquote normal life over there. And you get sucked into those moments. That happens. It's, I mean, it happens every year. But then, you have to come back to reality and remember why you're playing, what God has called you to do, and just snap out of it. And, there's many more moments, throughout the season and throughout my career where I've been like, man, like, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be right now. I can totally see like the plan God has for me, and this is great. But there's always going to be moments like that. And I mean, not even as a professional athlete, whatever your job is or your passions are,
Sure.
that's part of life. So,
So how do you get through
helps you
it? I mean, I
grow.
imagine it's got to be lonely at times too. So how'd you get through that? Like, how'd you get through those moments and
Yeah. I mean, a big one just
persevere?
yeah, I mean, a big one is this the support system. I mean, I had, yeah, my wife, she was my girlfriend then, Karen, at the time, like, you're doing FaceTime dates, being creative with that, like, your identity can't all be in basketball. Your identity can't all be in your job, whatever it is. Like, you need to have a balanced life. You need to know who you truly are, as a person, and you can't let something, one game, a stretch of games, a season, like, make or break you.
Sure.
As a person, you need to build good habits daily. What am I doing? I built a routine when I was overseas, I didn't know how to cook at, like, at all. My mom, best cook ever, and my first year overseas, I didn't do a good job taking care of myself. I lost like 25 pounds. The next year, I was like, okay, I got to build some better
Wait,
habits.
get up. You lost 25 pounds.
Yeah,
That's a lot.
my clothes were falling off of
Oh
me
my goodness.
when I got back from the airport. My mom, like, didn't recognize me. It was kind of sad. So built my body back up that summer. I was like, I got to take way better care of myself. I got to learn how to cook. So, like, it's just an example, like, building better habits. Okay, I'm gonna cook, like, I cook 6 nights a week, healthy meals. Like, for one, it keeps me busy over there. Two, like, it's healthy habits. It's
Sure.
getting up, it's getting in the word. I was reading book like reading books, like, doing with my girlfriend, like, Karen, at the time, and just doing different stuff like that to keep you balanced. And
Sure.
if you're just all basketball all the time, like, you're gonna get burnt out. You're gonna feel like it's just all you are. If you're, because I mean, the season goes like this with your performance, it goes up and down. And
Yeah.
if you're just totally, all your investment is into that, like, it's gonna be a roller coaster, and your self-esteem is gonna be just terrible. So, all that kind of sums it up.
Nice. So obviously you played a lot of different sports growing up. I mean, I think that's a good thing for avoiding some of the burnouts. So what advice would you have as we kind of shift a little bit? A lot of our listeners and a lot of the people that we mentor through Play in Faith are young athletes. They're late elementary school, they're middle school. And there is a lot of pressure with travel sports, and the seasons get so intense. And I know at a school like ours, it's a small school. Three or four sports are fighting for the same 7 or 8 kids. So what advice would you have for kids to avoid some of that burnout and, when they start feeling some of that pressure to specialize in a single sport at a young age?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, as a kid, like, I mean, young kid especially, and even as you're growing up, middle school and getting into high school, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself with anything. Play as many sports as you can. Like, be a kid first and foremost. Like, I was fortunate. I grew up in a neighborhood, and I mean, in the summertime, even during the school year, after school, we were just outside all day. Like, just go outside,
Display.
play with your friends, play with your siblings, be out there, like, be creative. That's going to help you be a better athlete in the long run. I mean, it's going to help you socially. Do that. Like, be a kid. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Don't be a, I mean, it's okay to, like, get, I'm all for getting in workouts and, like, okay, I want to, like, basketball, I want to get better at ball handling as a fourth grader. That's amazing. Get out in your garage, do some ball handling. Like,
Sure.
I think that's amazing. But don't put too much pressure on yourself to where, okay, I'm thinking about a D1 scholarship right now. I got to go, like, I need to go to a trainer right now. Like, I didn't grow up with a trainer. I didn't, I mean,
Good.
like,
Say that one more
there's a
time. You did
lot.
not have a personal trainer in
I did
elementary
not,
or middle
no,
school.
I've really, I mean, I've trained with people now that I'm a pro down in Indy, but I mean, that's people I know, and people, like, you don't
Sure.
need one. You don't, I mean, It's great if you have one and have the resources to access one, but like especially as a young kid, like go with your friends, go by yourself, go with a parent. Like I was lucky to have a dad who'd go with me, and
Sure.
like you, I mean, if you do that so young, like I feel like you will get burnt out at some point, and you're not even gonna enjoy it anymore. You're gonna feel like it's a chore.
Yeah, we try to avoid that. There's some just interesting literature. You read some of the things like for the average kid, and they ask them what's the one thing they dislike most about youth sports, and it's the car ride home with mom and dad. And right, and it's like it's so sad because it's supposed to be fun, but you want to, where we find that fine line. Like I love with our kids, I want them to work hard because I think there's a lot of value in setting goals, but they have to be their goals. So I'll give you two questions from my now fifth grader who has followed your career from a very young age. She's actually seen you play live about 3 years ago when you're playing in the TBT with the guys from Purdue. You guys were playing down in Dayton, and so every summer we do a daddy-daughter road trip with each of
Oh
my
yeah, I
daughters. They
remember
get to
this. Yeah.
they get to pick a location. So we went down to Dayton and watched you play. She had a blast. And afterwards, I asked her, I was like, "So what did you think? Was it like really cool to see?" And she walked. First thing she said, the car. She goes, "I got my picture with Mrs. Mangus."
Yeah.
So
That's
your
awesome.
mom found us in the crowd, and
Yeah.
she took a picture with her, and
That's
that absolutely
awesome.
made her day. But
Yeah.
now she's a little older. She's starting to play like she plays like OPS Elite and's getting into it. And
Yeah.
so her first question for you was, do you remember what sport you wrote about in your second grade About Me book?
Oh, I feel like I do know football.
It was very good, very
Yeah,
good
my
football.
mom
Yeah, of course,
has
I'm
shown me
relying
that.
on your mom for that answer.
Yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
it was football, and she wants to know if you all still have a dog named Mango.
We do.
All
Mango, yeah,
right.
he's doing great. He's 11, still running around the yard, doing well. Yeah, family dog and family nickname.
Those were her two most important questions. Her
Yeah,
last question for you
good
is,
question.
so as she starts getting into middle school or even high school, just what were some of your kind of workouts like? Like, what were some things that you were doing on your own to work out, or did it start being that at a little later age? Like, at what point were you like, okay, I'm putting in an hour workout, and like, what kind of things were you doing, and how often?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think around middle school is when it's interesting because you kind of talk about the parent and kid dynamic of things. And I'll never forget there was a time, when I would go work, I think it was around middle school, probably eighth grade, seventh, eighth grade. I would go, me and my brother would go work out with my dad, and he told us, he said, "Hey, like, I can't want this more than you. If you want to go to the gym, if you want to go work out, I'm all for that. But like, I'm not gonna ask you, I'm not gonna beg you to get out there. I'm not gonna, be on you. Like it's up, like you're old enough." That was probably eighth, ninth grade, somewhere around there. It's on you. So I was like, "Yeah, Dad, that makes sense. Like I really love basketball. I want to keep getting better at it, and it should be up to me." So, I did all sorts of things. I mean, playing one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, I think is great for young kids, especially, if it's outside, if it's in the gym in the summer, like that's great for skill development. You're doing everything, shooting, passing, dribbling, and I'm sure that can be said for other sports too.
Perfect.
But
So it's a day on your
season, yeah.
own. You're off season. You walk into the gym. What's the first 15 minutes look like? What do we do? What are we doing? We getting up some
I
shots.
mean,
We
I still
making
do
some
the same
makes.
routine. Yeah, I still do the same routine I did build with my dad in high school. And I start in close and kind of do a seven spot, make five from each spot routine, and make one coming back around. That's 42 makes. Go to the line, make 10 free throws, go to 15 feet, do it again. Before you know it, you're at what is that? 100 and 104 makes,
104 makes, yeah.
and get that's. Can get that done in like 6 or 7 minutes, and then I build out, do mid-range off the dribble, then I do threes, and we would always track makes. That was a big thing. It's not just I'm gonna go get shots up. Like everyone says, I'm gonna go get shots up. What does that mean exactly? You could go in the gym and just be firing shots up, but if you have some intention, like if you write like a something I would suggest to do, like write down what you're gonna do before you go to the gym. If you don't, you're gonna find yourself, especially if you go by yourself or just maybe with a teammate or something, you're going to find yourself kind of jacking around, not having an intention. Write something down, write a little workout down before you go in there, and then track that. Okay, I got 200 makes like that's a great day and did some ball handling. We would track stuff and we could do 400 to 500 makes in 45 minutes to an hour, and boom, we're out. So
That's awesome.
still try to keep some of that, a lot of that same routine today.
Love it. I think probably my two proudest moments as a coach were my 7th grade kids, one of the first times they walked into a high school gym. I've got like four or five of my girls are going to work out with the high school girls, and everyone's just kind of getting dressed. And I look out, and all my girls are doing basically exactly that. They're all getting their form shots around the rim,
Yeah.
they're getting their one dribble pull ups. And I was like, man, no matter how this goes, you guys look like ball players.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's great. You know,
I was like, so psyched.
start with fundamentals, shot fakes, close, layups as you're growing up, and then, build your shot out.
So I'm going to give you my other proudest moment as a coach, and it is a roundabout shout out to your roots and your program. So last year, my girls, I know where most of them stand. A lot of them are in youth group together, and I'm at a public school, but I know all my girls are Christians. And they wanted to pray before the game, and I thought that was absolutely fantastic. I was like, yeah, no problem. And as before the locker room, I said, do you guys want to get together and pray? And they said, no, coach, we want to do it on the floor where everyone can see them. And I thought, man, that is amazing. And I think where that idea might have generated from, I don't know if you follow your alma mater, Warsaw. It was the big sectional championship game last year. It was them in Northridge. Really tense game. I think it was a 1-point game in overtime. And for a lot of these kids, it's career over, right? Heartbreak, career over. And within 2 seconds after their careers end, you see all those dudes, not just Warsaw, not just Northridge, mixed up, arm in arm, locked in, praying right around center court.
I did
And
see that. Yeah.
I think it's one of those moments where you just look around and you're like, man, I love sports, but I think this is a vehicle to do something a whole lot more important and a whole lot bigger. And it was just a really cool moment locally. And that's the program you come from, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do remember seeing that, and I think it's great. One of my, like, I get, I mean, I can remember doing things like that at Indiana Wesleyan, and I think it's becoming more common now that athletes are able and willing to share their faith, whether it's in a press conference or on the court. No matter what level you're at, you can do it. And always remember that, people in the stands are watching you, and how you carry yourself and how you treat your teammates and the language you use, in the locker room for your other teammates. And as Christians, we are called to a high standard with the way we do talk and treat each other and act and pray. And whether the game goes great for you, whether it's a win or loss, we still want to, act in that way. So whether you're a pro or playing, second grade basketball, that's something we can all remember. It's simple, but so effective.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I'm sure you're aware of it, but there's just so many people watching, and even when we don't know, and the more success we have and the higher the levels we attain, the more and more and more influence we are blessed with. So, thank you for using yours so well. You're making a huge difference in a lot of people's lives. They're watching. They're watching with pride. And so one last parting question. I've kept you longer than I mean to. Every one of my
No, this is
episodes,
great.
I talk to you for 20 hours. So obviously a goal-driven guy. So when this whole basketball playing portion comes to a close, what do you want people to say about Kyle Mangus?
Yeah, I mean, it would be great, to say, like, man, he made the NBA, man, he did this, but overall, I would be really happy and would be, ecstatic. People just said, he was a humble guy who cared about others, who made time for people, who served his teammates well, was just easy to talk to, and like proud of his roots and where he came from, which I am. And yeah, I think all those things would make me joyful. They already do, so that's what I would say.
Love it. Well, I will tell you that people are already saying those things, and I hope that the very first line item comes true as well, that we can say NBA player Kyle Mangus. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was an absolute delight to have you on here. We're going to be following your career. We're going to be praying for you. And then I am local back in Kyle's hometown, so I will tell you that we are all following your career with a ton of pride, not just what you do on the court, but who you are. So thank you so much for being here, and absolute pleasure, Kyle. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chris. It was a great combo. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.